Welcome to the Jiu-Jitsu of Life, a weekly podcast for BJJ enthusiasts who are striving to succeed both on and off the mat. This podcast is brought to you by Roll Bliss Custom Kimonos, makers of the world's finest custom BJJ apparel. And here are your hosts on the Jiu-Jitsu of Life, Carter Fisk and Mo Siddiqui.
Welcome to the Jiu-Jitsu of Life podcast. This is episode number 121.
Yo, what is going on, Brother Carter?
Well, we were just talking about COVID and, I had a little headache yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Took some Advil.
Yeah.
Didn't go away. And I'm like, uh-oh, that's it. This is the sign.
Yeah.
And then today we're supposed to get a little training. I'm like, man, I feel a little weird. I don't know. Could be allergies. Could be a little COVID.
Yeah.
Took a nap, felt really hot, realized I was kind of sitting in the sun.
So and it is blazing hot out here in Austin,
very
Texas.
Very hot. And actually, Chantel and I went to the hike and bike trail because I decided.
Goodness. What time did you go out there?
Like 9 o'clock. Because we were just like,
This morning?
Yeah.
By that time, it was already hot.
It was pretty hot, but it wasn't bad. It was nice to go. So for people who don't know, the Austin around the main just south of downtown, there's this big trail that has multiple loops. I think the smallest loop is like a mile and a half. Then there's like a 3 mile one. So people, for whatever reason, they call it the hike and bike trail because people like to hike and people like to bike, which when it's a crowded day like that, I'm like, kind of wish they had separated those out because I saw one fairly solid bike accident and several, we'll call them near misses, as they call them in the aviation world, where they nearly missed, which is kind of a word for a collision if you're going to take George Carlin stuff. But yeah, it seems crazy that you have people, especially in some sections of it, there was guys whizzing by us catching air on some of these bumps. And I'm like, you got all these people walking around, you have dogs, you have people jogging, you have people with their earphones in, and you have people just flying around corners on bikes.
Yeah. Like,
so that's the hike and bike, but it's a nice thing to walk every once in a while. We hadn't been there in probably a year.
Yeah.
So, it was fun to go and it's good to see lots of people out and about, and strangely, the people riding their bikes all wearing masks, which I thought was weird. Like, clearly no care for their safety in terms of just the way they're riding their bike, but they're not going to get that COVID. No. We saw a few masks actually on the ground too. I'm like, that was probably a couple of bike accidents where they got taken away in the hospital.
Yeah.
They didn't get the
COVID.
You
got a higher chance of dying in a bike wreck than you do COVID.
On that place, you sure do. Good Lord. Yeah. So,
right? Because you're talking about like not feeling well.
Yeah.
And I was laughing about that because every time, in Central Texas here in Austin, you live here long enough and you're going to suffer from allergies.
Yep.
You'll never have allergies in your whole life.
Yeah.
You'll move to Austin and you'll get cedar fever or something.
Yep.
But like anytime I feel even a little bit sick, I'm like, oh my God, here it goes.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
I'll get the COVID. And you know what worries me worst about COVID is that I'll have to be quarantined. And that's what I don't want to do that, but I'll have to do it, right? Because I don't want to get other people sick.
Yeah.
It's not about me, bro. It's about you.
Well, it's the way I look at it, I think that one thing I think would help public perception is I think everyone's just got to realize, dude, most people are probably going to get this at some point. That I think it's shown that it's infectious enough that and even in places like California where they've been locked down almost the entire time, it's still spreading like mad. I mean, in Los Angeles and San Francisco, they're like, oh, we're going to shut down indefinitely. And still it's spreading. So to me, it's like at a certain point, it's like, okay, let's just steer into this thing. And, to me, it's like, you're probably going to get it. I know several people that have already gotten it and recovered from it. Obviously, there's some people that just won't. But I think that when if we looked at things that are dangerous, if we did a scale of danger, it would be very low on that scale. And if people started really looking at that, it's like, okay, this is just another thing that's more dangerous. But I would say it's been counterbalanced by the fact that taking Austin, for instance, traffic is still way less than it was 6 months ago. Like, so we drove downtown, and it's like, man, on a weekday, that's like a 30-minute drive now from where I live. But getting down there today is like 8 minutes. And I've noticed this, like, even I went to go look at property in Georgetown, that warehouse I was telling you about. I went and looked at that on Friday at like 5:30 in the evening because I found out about this thing. And I'm like, oh, man, this looks pretty good. I'm like, I'll look at it tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, that's what a loser thinks. A winner goes and looks at it now. That's the disapproving voice in my head. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go look at this now. And it was like, you know, normally that's hour, you know, like during 5 o'clock on a Friday. But I was like, man, I got there in like 30 minutes, 32 minutes, something like that. Like almost as fast as if there was a little bit of traffic, but there really wasn't much. So the point of that is that I'm sure there's fewer car accidents. So yes, you have people dying that maybe wouldn't die because of COVID, but you have fewer car accidents now. And honestly, it makes me remember how much I loved this town when I first moved here 14 years ago, because I moved from Los Angeles where there was just ungodly amounts of traffic. And to be somewhere where it's like, you can get anywhere in 15 minutes. That's what they told me when I moved to Austin. And it was true for a long time, has not been true for the last couple of years, but it's all of a sudden it's true again. So I'm like, all right, we'll take that. That'll balance it out. But yeah, every time you start feeling a little bit of sick, it's paranoid. Not because, again, I'm not worried about getting it. I assume that I'm going to get it. But same thing. The idea of like, I don't want to spread it to people unfairly. So it's like, okay, I'm not going to train because it's like, man, that's just, and it's funny, yeah, that used to be such a thing when I used to train years ago, where it's like, you train with somebody and they'd be like, finish up training and they'd be sniffling. I'm like, what's going on? Oh man. Yeah. I've been sick. Yeah. I'm still kind of sick or whatever. I'm like, oh, it's good that I find this out now after we finished training. Thank you for letting me know.
Why did you even come to train?
Yeah. It's like, that's terrible. But that used to happen all the time. But I think now people are really sensitive about that. And that's a good thing. I mean, I think if you feel sick, you shouldn't train with people, because if you want to spread COVID, jiu-jitsu is one of the, it's got to be top five best ways to spread COVID if we ever make a good
or anything, like that. Anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Pretty much anything. Yeah. You want a little mat herpes? Let's do it. Jiu-jitsu. There you go.
I only want to spread those. You know, when you talk about spreading it fairly, I only want to spread that to people I hate.
Yes. So if Coco ever shows up, he's going to get, I mean.
Well, I think he was the, was it patient zero?
That's true. Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, you can't get mat herpes twice. That's what he always says. So yeah, no, I think it's, but it, to me, it's also like, I'm supposed to go to Lubbock tomorrow and I'm like, oh man, I'm going to meet this broker. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? I'm like, well, maybe I could just drive in a, you know, drive in my car and I'll keep the mask. So I'm going through all these scenarios. Cause it's like, I just don't want to put somebody in a situation. I don't want to be that guy. I don't care about getting it myself. I just don't want to give it to somebody. That would make me feel bad. So, so, you know, it's just kind of, that's the only thing I'm worried about. But other than that, like this idea of trying to avoid it, it's like, man, I don't think that's going to be possible. I just don't think that. I think it's pretty infectious. It's all over the place here. And it's like, I don't think there's any way around it. So, you know, I think it's here. It's here to stay. So, but that's all right, because we're talking about negative visualization today anyway. So it kind of ties in with that.
You just blew people's minds because they were like, I've heard of positive visualization. Negative. Never heard of negative visualization.
Negative visualization.
Dude, let me tell you. So when I started reading about this, I had to do like a lot of cross-referencing research, because I'm not like the secret guy, right? Like I've never even watched that film, but I have read like a lot of the books on the power of positive thinking. And, you know, there's a ton of them, especially if you're an entrepreneur. I mean, being positive and having the mindset is very, very big. And so obviously like, it was Vincent Peale that wrote The Power of Positive Thinking.
Yes.
Norman Vincent Peale, I think. Or
yeah,
like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Right?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the premise of the book basically is what you focus on is what usually happens, right? So I was like, well, as soon as I figured out about negative visualization, I was like, well, I don't want these things to happen, right? So why do I want to focus on them? Well, to go a little bit deeper on it, it's not what you really... So for people that are into that, right? Like they're big on positive thinking, and you should be. Like whatever you do in life, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you want to be successful in your job, and especially if you're an athlete, like positive thinking, visualizations, this is next level stuff, and it's super important. And you're going to find this across the board with so many ultra successful people. When you read about their morning routines, meditation, visualization, affirmations is usually across the board a part of all of their morning routines, right? But it's not merely about what you think about. It's about how you feel towards what you think about, right? So if you're anywhere in this, like, if you think about like attraction, and I know, man, I don't even want to use that word because there's going to be some people that are like, here we go, bizarro. We're entering the bizarro world, right? But like if you're that person that reads up on the law of attraction and things like that, and you're worried, and I just want to get this out there first, so that way you can kind of empty your cup before we start talking about negative visualizations. If you're the person that's worried about like it messing up with your law of attraction type stuff, remember that that stuff really deals with how you feel towards something, right? So you attract, like if you feel positive, if you focus your mind on something and you feel positive towards it, well, then if you believe in that type of stuff, then that's what you should be attracting. I mean, that's basically what it is, right? And if you're focusing on something and you don't like it, well, then that's like, then it shouldn't manifest into your world. And I know I probably need to edit this out because people are going to be like, man, this is crazy. What are they talking about? Well, the thing about this, though, is visualization has been around for thousands and thousands of years, right?
Yeah.
And the reason why we're talking about it today is because you and I, on the last podcast we did, we were talking a lot about self-control. And what was the method we were using? We were using meditation, right? Yeah. As a way to manage emotion, right? To manage your emotions better, controlling your emotions. Don't be a slave to your emotions. You want to try to master them, and you never will, but you can learn to manage them better through meditation. It's about self-control. And usually anytime you talk about self-improvement, it usually comes down to increasing your ability to have self-control. When Jocko writes his book about discipline equals freedom, that's self-control, right? Like the discipline to make yourself do something as opposed to listen to your desire, right? Your desire probably says, stay in bed. It's cold outside. Don't get up early. Like that's ridiculous, right? But you have self-control. You're not a slave to your desires or your emotions, right? So meditation. Well, we're talking a lot about stoicism because stoicism really is about managing your emotions better, right? And it's not about being emotionless. It's not about being like tight-lipped. It's about just managing them better. And so a lot of what the Stoics would do, I sent you this article because one of the exercises a lot of Stoics would do is negative visualization, right? And the reason they would do, so basically what that is that think about something in your life that you're very attached to, that you would hate to lose, and then imagine you losing it, right? So let's say you're attached to your money. Imagine a world where you wake up and all your money's gone. Let's say you're attached to your job. Then imagine a world where you wake up and your job is gone. Imagine that you fear losing your home, you know, and then you would imagine a world. And like for some people, it gets to the point of like, well, that's all happened to me, right? So I don't have to imagine it. Like that's actually, I've lost my job. I've lost my home. I've lost all my money. Well, then it finally gets to the point where imagine your own death, right? And contemplate that. And the reason the Stoics did this is because it gave them a sense of gratitude, because once they snapped out of the negative visualization, they realized that instead of thinking about all the things they didn't have, they realized all the things that they did have and how good the moment was, how good the life right in front of them, like the here and now, actually was. So negative visualizations.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get your idea on it. Is it something you think that you'll practice, and maybe how can people, you know why it really hit home for me though, Carter? And I wanted to mention this is because coming from, studying the warrior mindset, that's real big for me, having that warrior mindset.
Yeah.
And I know that the samurai constantly meditated on their own death, right? And they had a completely different perspective on death than what most people have. Like, most people think it's like the worst thing, right? Like, it's the end. It's the worst thing that can possibly happen. And for samurais and even for Stoics, they don't look at it as necessarily a good or bad thing. I think actually the samurai, depending on how they do die, can see death as a very good thing, right?
Yeah.
For Stoics, I don't think they look at it as good or bad. It's just an event that happens, right? But the warrior mindset, like, they, this was something that, this was a warrior culture, like the Spartans, the samurai, and they contemplated their own death. And I wonder how many people actually do that. And when you do that, there was no way around it. I had to do that.
Yeah.
I think it makes you more, at least for me, it makes me grateful to be able to open my eyes from that meditation and realize that, man, I'm still alive. And people that I love are still alive. People that I care about are still alive. And I get to talk to those people and I get to see those people. I get to train jujitsu with those people. You know what I mean? So I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So that article that you sent, the last paragraph had a great quote. And it said, positive visualization helps you get what you want. Negative visualization helps you want what you get. And I thought that's to me was right on the money, because there is a phenomenon that I heard about. I did some digging into negative visualization, and there's something called hedonic adaptation. And that's basically the tendency of humans to quickly return to a relatively stable level of happiness despite something positive, super positive, or something super negative happening to their life. And I remember it was actually the real estate, it was a real estate meetup that I went to years ago with a guy that seems to be pretty successful. He runs a couple investing clubs in Austin. And he talked about when he bought this huge mansion that he lived in. And he's like, yeah, at first it was like, oh my God, I've got this huge house and oh Lord. And then he's like, then I realized, like, okay, trash day is Thursday. I'm putting out the trash and, you know, here's the neighbor. You wave to the neighbor and pretty soon it's all normal. Like, what the normal becomes, you adapt to it quickly. And we see this now with masks. Everybody's wearing a mask. It's almost weird when you see somebody not wearing a mask. Or when you see a video from like 6 months ago, you're like, why aren't these people wearing masks? Why is everyone standing so close? This seems dangerous, because you've gotten used to a new normal. So no matter what you achieve in life, you get used to it. And once you get used to it, then your happiness, it sort of levels down again. And that's why there's people that are always seeking something more, because it's that initial, because you do initially get a little bit of a rush of like the new house, the new thing, whatever. And then you get used to it again. So, you know, you look at somebody like, Jay Leno's got a warehouses full of cars, or Jerry Seinfeld has warehouses full of cars. And I'm sure they're fun and cool and they're great cars, but it's like, they get used to this car. It's like, okay, what else can I get? You know, that's why people accumulate so much stuff, because it's sort of a seeking out that next excitement. So what I think negative visualization, the idea behind it is that it gives that new feeling by visualizing losing all those things. And then when you realize that you have not, now you get to appreciate them in sort of that first time again. You get that sort of initial rush in a way that's probably a lot more cost effective and time effective as well. Because otherwise you're just constantly seeking that feeling, that initial rush of getting that new thing. And you see people do this with, you know, they always say that with drug addicts, they can always tell from the very first time they get high. And having known a decent number in my life, they all say the same thing. It's like they're always chasing that first high that they got. And it's interesting because, you know, when people seek that new feeling throughout life, it tends to lead to a lot of things that you would sort of negatively visualize actually happening. Because if you're always seeking that new thing, that new experience, it tends to lead to a very unbalanced life. In the case of drug addicts, you know, I've watched people lose everything, lose their relationships, all their money, their livelihood, their home, everything, and sometimes their life too. So by having the discipline to appreciate what you have on a different level, to me, that's what negative visualization can do. And I think
I want to ask you a question on the flip side of that and get your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
Before I do, we got to pay some bills.
What we got going on here?
Well, I just want to give a shout out first and foremost to make sure you check out the BJJ Way of Life. Check out Calum Callista. Yeah. Sneaky Submissions. Yes. I think he's on. He's back on the BJJ Fanatic, so you can probably get it there too. But his stuff is awesome, and he's also making videos for Robles Techniques of the Week, and they're fantastic. I mean, I look forward to his videos every week. Really cool stuff, and he's showing all his sneaky triangle stuff, so I really like it.
Yeah, I watched his. The guy's got single leg X on you, and you turn that into a back take on top. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I started watching it like literally halfway through. I'm like, I see it. I see how this works. So it's good stuff. I've never seen something like that before. Very cool.
I like it. And he had that little sneaky submission on the end when the guy that was it in that one. It's the one where the guy that has single legs from the bottom.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then he does like it's almost like a heel hook or something.
Yeah.
From top. Right.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Also, we're still dealing with all the pandemic stuff, but whether you're dealing with a pandemic or whether you're not dealing with a pandemic, like supplemental training is always a way to get from A to B a little bit quicker. And so make sure you check out Jiu-Jitsu on the Go. Steve Hordensky, man, that's a legit BJJ black belt. Been around for a long time. He knows its stuff. His platform is super awesome. He's also knocking out Jiu-Jitsu techniques for Robles. So be sure to check out Jiu-Jitsu on the Go. Now, the question I have is, so this idea of negative visualization, right? But do you think it can also be positive to strive for the next best thing?
Yeah. I think that's the thing where it's like,
to me, it's like never set. To me, it's almost like you can never settle.
Yeah.
Right. Like, okay, I made $1,000, but now I want to make $10,000.
Yeah.
Now, and is there anything wrong with that? Like at some point do you say, well, why do you want more? Like for me, I know that a long time ago, I used to see a problem with that, right? Like I used to say to myself, well, if I want more, that means I'm not grateful for what I have.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I got much older and more mature that I said, no, I can be grateful for what I have, but I can still set the bar a little bit higher and really push myself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think, to me, it probably comes down to motivation, because if your motivation, so let's just say money. Now, if you have purpose of what you're earning that money for, let's just say, we talked about before the law enforcement training center. So you're like, okay, this is going to cost me this much money and this and that. And because I want this to be done the way I want to do it, I don't want to take outside money. I want to fund this myself. So I need this amount of money. So I need to do this number of deals to get this. Okay, so I've got that. Cool. Now the next thing I want to, so if you have specific goals, to me, it makes sense. If the pursuit of something is to feel a certain way, I think that's where people get into trouble. Or maybe as long as you acknowledge that there's a good sort of rush about getting that good deal, because there definitely is, but you know it's short-lived, but it's something where you're like, hey, you know what? The high from training is short-lived too, but it's still important. Then I think it's, to me, then it's okay. Because you and I were just talking about before of both of us working on being very disciplined about doing good deals. And there is a weird feeling of knowing that time is on your side, because that is hard to manage sometimes. So what I mean by that is, we're in position, right now, I think I'm in a position where I don't have to do a deal right now. I would like to, and there's deals I have in mind, but there's nothing like, okay, I've got to do this to pay for this, or otherwise I'm going to go bankrupt or whatever it might be. So the discipline to not do something where it's like, yeah, I could do this and probably would work out all right, versus no. This has to be a certain criteria, this, this, and this. And if it's not, I'm not doing it. I don't care. That is hard for me, because there's like this weird feeling of sort of guilt of not doing anything. There's this weird thing of like, am I even working? Am I doing, what am I doing? And you were just saying the exact, like the words that you were describing, I was like, well, I'm glad you're feeling that way, because I feel exactly the same
way. Well, let me say, if you, because, we're both married, and So yeah, this we are. I'm a competitive person. Yeah. Sometimes this is gonna sound ridiculous, man. But you know what? I hold nothing back from our fan. This is gonna sound completely ridiculous, but I'm such a competitive person that sometimes I judge my months by if I made more money than my wife, yeah. right? Like, yeah. so she's really and she's on top of it. Yeah. So, anyways, long story short, I'm being more disciplined on making deals.
Yeah.
And it means that I'm making better deals.
Yes.
But it means I'm making a lot fewer deals. So what's happening right now is that there's months that are going by where I'm not doing any deals, but Sally is still really out there, you know, doing a great job. And she's being like, I'm doing nothing. I'm reading a book and I hear her talking to clients in her office. Right. And I'm like, man, maybe I need to do a deal just to do a deal. Right. Like yeah. I need to, cause she thinks that I'm just probably sitting here doing nothing. But I'm waiting on, I'm trying to be disciplined, man.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm doing nothing.
Yeah, I know. It's the discipline of saying no, the discipline to literally not do something is very hard for some people. Yeah, some people are great at it. But I mean, for somebody
like
who...
Coco, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Coco's like the discipline natural. Of not training. He's got that down. but it's fine. He's got an excuse. So, but yeah, no, I think that is a difficult thing to do. And, you know, so I looked at that property in Georgetown. And it was like, okay, man, I could do this deal like immediately. And it was a commercial deal that was listed by a residential broker. So I'm like, oh, they may have mispriced this thing or whatever. And it was like, I looked at it, I'm like, yeah, you could do this, you could do this, you could do this. And it's like, but I'm like, look, this is going to be a money pit. This is going to be this, this is going to be that. And it's like, I talk myself out of it and I'm like, good. I'm glad I talked myself out of it. In fact, I will try and talk myself out of every deal. I will look for every way to kill it. And if it's still alive then it's probably a good deal.
Well, let me ask you another flip side to the question, yeah. right? So we've always talked about being more disciplined in doing deals. And obviously we don't want to do bad deals.
Yeah.
But this is something relatively new for you to be doing. I mean, you've been investing way longer than I have. I mean, I've learned from you.
Yeah.
So the question I'm giving you is like, why try to fix something that's not broke? I mean, you got to the point where you're at today because of doing all the deals you did, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's partly because to me, it's partly a market change in terms of what's happening in the market right now. It's also partly the fact that, you know, one of the highlights of last month was finally closing the chapter on a deal that's been like 3.5 years of just constant headache of buying this thing, of selling it to somebody who immediately stopped making payments, who I had to foreclose on, then evict, then get it back, then deal with a couple of crappy contractors to finally get it fixed up, to wait forever to sell it to somebody who immediately stopped paying and the septic system failed and I had to, just one thing after another. So finally it's like I sold the note on that thing, so I'm completely separate, done with that deal now after like 3.5 years, maybe 4.5 years actually thinking about it.
What a nightmare.
And it was a nightmare. And I'm like, that's what a bad deal is to me. A bad deal is something that is a never ending nightmare. So to me, it's like, okay. And especially because I'm looking at higher price points, I'm looking at warehouse stuff. I'm looking at types of property that, you know, these things are like 10 times the price point of what I'm used to. So it's like, normally it's like the price point is like, okay, yeah, this is a bad deal, but I can still make money on this or whatever, but there's small deals. But now that I'm looking at bigger deals, I'm like, okay, the stakes are bigger. The potential to do well and have something that's sort of low maintenance and all that, I think is high. But there's also one of these things where it's like, man, this thing's been unleased for 1.5 years. It's just sucking money every month. Like, that's also a possibility. So that, you know, the highs are better, but the lows are also better too. So to me, it's like, I need to know what I'm doing on this. And I think I look at this as an opportunity to really become an expert on something that I'm coming in not knowing a whole lot about, but also realizing I don't think there's nearly as many experts in this particular category of real estate as there are in a lot of other ones. So I look at that as a huge opportunity, but there's pitfalls. You know, I'm looking at the stuff in Lubbock and I'm like, oh my God, it's $3.50 a square foot. How could I lose? And it's like, yeah, but maybe that's only a $2 a square foot property, even though $350 sounds great, but maybe over there, that's
because it's not simple. Apples to apples. You can't compare it to Austin. Right?
Yeah. And so it's one of these things that, to me, it's partly the discipline of getting into something new. And it's partly, I think it's also because I'm honestly, one thing that I started doing, and actually started doing this in my Tyler properties and my Lubbock stuff, I'm going to do for somebody else, but my Tyler stuff, I got everything refinanced. I have a separate bank that I'm using out there for everything. And that's all going to my nieces now. I'm starting now. So they're 11 and the other one's 8, going to be 9 pretty soon. So by the time they're 18 and 16, like this should have accumulated a certain amount, you know, in terms of maybe it's going to stay as these rental properties. Maybe I'll do the old Monopoly, take the 4 houses, turn it into one big something else. I'm going to just kind of keep reevaluating as time goes on. But it's like those are their own separate entity now. So I'm starting to look at everything as like, okay, now I've got nephews, or, you know, maybe Mo needs something at some point. You know what I mean? Like I'm looking at different things because I am trying to be very focused on contemplating my own death and in the sort of temporary nature of everything, and being like, okay, how much time do I really think I have left? And having dealt with, you know, a father who for whatever reason did not have a will, which just drives me out of my mind, but having
that's
gone through,
you know, that's not an uncommon thing.
No, it's not at all.
It's not. And it's so scary. It really is scary. But you know, when people, and I don't know what the circumstances were, but like most people don't need, you know, they probably don't need a will because they don't have anything to give away.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, it was one of these things, having gone through probate before, and realizing like, dude, I don't have any kids. Who's going to deal with this? Whatever. It's like, my goal is to, you know, number one, you want to have that good samurai honorable death, mm-hmm. but maybe more importantly, I want to have that like smooth sailing, good landing death where everyone's like, it's like, I don't have to do anything. You've got everything figured out. This goes to this person, boom, boom. Like everything's here. Like I want to have everything set up. And I'm like, man, I got to start doing this now. So it's kind of been so for me with all that, it's like, I want it to be set up well. And part of that is just making sure every deal is a good, solid deal. It doesn't have to be a home run. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where maybe people get analysis paralysis, because to me, it's also defining, well, what is a good deal? And to me, a good deal is something where you immediately, as soon as you buy it, you could resell it and make a little bit of money on it right from the get-go. It doesn't mean that it's enough that it's worth doing that, but that is a possibility. To me, a bad deal is something where you're like, well, in 6 months or a year or 5 years or whatever, this should make enough to, we've talked about that before, that's basically speculating. So I think it's good to have that discipline as long, and this, it's sort of the same idea when we're talking about negative visualization. It's good to have all this as long as that doesn't bleed over into inactivity. And I think where people talk about negative visualization in a bad way is they think about negative people that they know.
Okay, so you're going into something that I want to get into. Before we do that, let me pay some more bills. So also be sure to check out Carter Buys Homes.
Oh, yeah.
If you're in the Austin area, because Carter does buy homes
last week,
and not only he doesn't just buy homes, he buys mobile homes, he buys warehouses, he buys apartment complexes, what any sort of real estate that is I don't know, that's valuable. I don't know what to say. Just buy anything.
Yeah, I really need like CarterBuysStuff.com. I should just
seriously, Carter Buys Homes, check it out. And if you sell Carter your home, you're probably going to need someone to help you move. So if you're in the Austin area, check out Chaparral Moving. They're by far the best moving company in the Austin area. They've been around since the late 90s. Yeah. Ask for Tony. Tell them Mo sent you. I want to get into the negative visualization and the inactivity stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think that any of that, what's the right way? Like applied to jujitsu, right? Do you feel like people beat themselves up too much maybe and then end up quitting jujitsu?
Yeah, I do. I, you know, because it's weird. Jujitsu talks about a lot of things where people say you never want someone to do this, or you never want to have somebody do that. And there's sort of two ways to approach things, I think, in terms of when you talk about bad positions or bad things, it's good to practice those. So we've known people that refuse to practice certain bad positions because you're like, oh, no one will ever get me there. We've literally heard these people say this and then watch them in fights on TV get in those positions and lose those fights because they said to themselves, no one will ever get me here, and yet they were gotten there. But that also makes somebody that's very hard to get in that position. So it does make somebody who's very tough and very scrappy. But I think if they get to those spots, then maybe that gets them defeated. On the flip side, there are people that practice bad positions and things like that, stuff that I like to do a lot and Jeff likes to do a lot and all that kind of thing. But if you allow everyone to get there always, that also is sort of a bad thing as well, because now you are being too passive. You are allowing, you know, there's a certain level of person you can't allow to get to a certain level or certain position because they're just going to overwhelm you. So I think all this stuff is a balance, a positive and negative. And the positive stuff, I think, is good to set the goals. The negative stuff is good to appreciate the goals once you get the goals. But if you start mixing those up and using the negative stuff to overwhelm you, then it is easy to quit, because there's always going to be downsides of things. There's always going to be negative parts of different things. And if that becomes your focus, then to me, that's using negative visualization the wrong way, which is to look at all the bad things that are happening in something and focus on that versus. So in other words, in a jiu-jitsu point of view, it'd be like, oh, you know, like I'm dealing with all these guys. They're way bigger. They're a bunch better athletes. And I'm never going to beat this guy. I'm never, like, you know, focusing on that versus the real stoic way of looking at that is saying, what if I lost my legs? Now these people would be even bigger than me, and I wouldn't be able to walk or run away. I should appreciate having my legs. Or what if, and that's really relevant now with COVID, is that saying, well, what if there was no jiu-jitsu? Because that's something where it's like, you know, you base all these happiness on, like, well, where's my pecking order?
That's a great point.
But all of a sudden it's like, what if there is no jiu-jitsu? Because, you know, there's some places, we talked about this, San Francisco, we're closing down indefinitely. Well, there's a ton of jiu-jitsu schools in San Francisco. Does that mean just jiu-jitsu is just done? You know what I mean? And that is a possibility in this world that we're living in. And that makes you appreciate, God, I just realized I took training for granted. I was so worried about where I was, or this guy's ahead of me, or this guy can tap me, or I can't beat this guy. What if that whole game goes away? Not where is my place on the game, but what if the entire game just goes away? And that, I think, is the power of negative thinking. The positive visualization is saying, like, okay, I'm going to work on these positions, and I know that if I get this, then I'll be good from here. I'll work on this defense, so now it's much harder to do. That's positive visualization. But the negative visualization is what if the whole thing goes away? Or what if I'm no longer physically able to do this at all? You know, if I'm looking on my deathbed, am I going to be like, oh, I wish I had just been able to tap these guys out? Or saying, man, I wish I had enjoyed training more, because that's another sort of factor which inadvertently gets you better, is if you enjoy training more, it gets you over those days where you don't necessarily feel like going to train, which ultimately makes you better. So I think it's always a balance. And that's what's interesting about contemplating that and taking it even further with meditation that we've talked about. Maybe if you meditate twice a day, let's say for 5 minutes each, that's 10 minutes a day, which is not asking a lot out of our audience. They can give us 10 minutes. I gave myself 13 minutes today, giving you 3 minutes off. So 10 minutes.
Look at you, you overachiever.
That's right, buddy. So let's say you spend 5 minutes meditating, just head clear, breathing, all that. Then later in the day, maybe spend 5 minutes doing a little negative visualization. Picture your dog dead, your wife dead, you're homeless, you've lost your hands, you know, like whatever causes sort of a visceral emotional reaction.
And you know what's interesting, and I don't want to cut you off, Carter, because I'm playing with this concept already. And let me tell you, I've already gotten to a very positive point, and I've only been playing with the negative visualization, you know, pretty much since I read the article. So, like, yeah. Yesterday.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I'm doing is I'm playing it out to the end, right?
Yeah.
So I start to look at things from a more practical and logical aspect. In other words, I was thinking about something like that, right? Something like, I lost our business or something like that. And I was like, okay, we lost everything and we're homeless. And I'm like, okay, so what does that mean? And I begin to, and immediately I thought to myself, well, I'll just get it back, right? Like, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
When you play it out to the, a lot of the times when you visualize what's the worst possible thing you think can happen,
yeah,
it usually it's not as bad as you think it is.
Yeah.
Because if you've obtained it once, then you can obtain it again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if, and that's why the last thing to contemplate is probably like life and death. Right. And you contemplate your death because, and the reason I bring this up is because a lot of people, they're probably like, man, I never want to think about my spouse dying. I never want to think about like me losing my job. But I really want to reiterate that it's to do it for positive reasons, that there is a ton of benefit that you're going to get from this. And that is what I am already receiving, is that I understand that things that I thought were so bad, and I'm, and they, and a Stoic would say nothing's good or bad, right? Like it's just an event, but, and it's our perspective, right? But things that I thought that were bad, I'm realizing now that, well, no, it's, and nothing is the end of the world, right? The end of the world is the end of the world. Everything else is just, you know, doing it over again, repeating yourself, right? Like, you know, I can remember a time when we didn't have businesses, and I can remember a time when we didn't have money and we were living from check to check. I would think we can all remember times like that. I can remember a time when I didn't have a wonderful wife and a wonderful child. I can remember those times, right? And I think that we forget to remind ourselves of what life was like before we had all the valuable things, and especially all the valuable people that we had in our lives. And which brings us like a full circle to the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because the pandemic, if there's one good thing, and let me tell you, I will never talk about the pandemic in a good way. Because it's just, it's been, I don't know. It's crazy. That's, we've talked about, we've already beaten that dead horse. We'll beat it some more a little bit later, but
we sure will.
If there's one good thing that came from the pandemic, it's realizing all the things that we took for granted.
Yes. Right?
The pandemic is like forcing us like to have like negative visualization.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we, like you said, we took jiu-jitsu for granted. Like for me, it was just like, oh, I got off, you know, I'm not working right now, so I guess I'll go train. You're like, no, training is like the greatest thing, and sometimes you forget that, right? Like the ability to go train and to spend time with your friends, to go to a movie theater, to go to a park and run around with your pet, your dog, right? Like all these things that we took, man, funerals.
Yeah.
Like people are dying and you can't even go to their funeral, right? Like things that you literally have taken for granted, and now COVID, eating dinner with your family. I mean, stuff like that, right? I don't know. I went off on a rant and a tangent, but negative things forcing us to realize what we already have instead of what we don't have.
Yeah. It's like this crazy experiment that's just happened in front of everybody's eyes that's forced you to realize all the things that you took for granted. Even the idea of, you know, I'm driving out to Lubbock tomorrow, and it's like, you know, my bathroom schedule used to be like, find a Starbucks and a gas station, and there we go. And it's like, that's been my thing for a long time, you know, 16, 20 years, something like that. And now it's like, well, dude, you can't use the bathroom in most Starbucks. You got to figure, like, it's like just like little things like that. Or like, oh, I just want to sit at a coffee shop and just, you know, bring a book or my computer or whatever. And it's like, you can't do that now. And it's like, man, I just used to, it's interesting because there's some things you took for granted that it's like, oh man, this was so good and I miss it. And there's other things where it's like eating out, you know, we've only eaten out once since March. One night, like a month ago, we went out. And it was nice, but it's like, realize that, you know, we did that a lot when it was like, ah, we were just feeling like not inspired to cook or do whatever. And it's like, we've been doing that so much more. And I don't know if we would want to, we're definitely not going to go out as much as we used to. I mean, just, it's not going to happen. So it's like, there's certain things where you realize, like, maybe you took one thing for granted and now you appreciate it more. Maybe something else, it's like, you were just doing it a lot because that's sort of the routine you were stuck in, but maybe that wasn't that productive. And, you know, we got rid of our office. We had that, you know, the office that you and I went to, we used to do the podcast there, not because we realized like neither one of us is getting, I never got very good work done there. And Chantal really realized she wasn't either. And it's like, man, I'm spending $850 a month on that thing, which is like, that's like a mortgage on an office.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of money. And it's just like, so like just different things that you could let go of. So I think it's been, you know, to me with all this stuff, if you choose to make it a positive, it will be.
And that's the stoicism thing, right? Yeah. Like, so when a stoic sees the pandemic, they don't see it. It's all perspective. Some people are going to view it as this terrible thing. And then a stoic, they may view it. I don't know if they'd view it as a good thing, right? But they would, I guess you see the pros and cons to everything as opposed to just seeing this is all bad or this is all good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it is finding that balance between, but I love the quote. And in fact, I'm going to read the quote one more time before we go, which is positive visualization helps you get what you want. Negative visualization helps you want what you get. And I think that is the balance.
That's the mic drop.
Boom. There we go.
Episode 121 in the books. Be sure to go to the I always get my tongue twisted.
Hey, man.
Can't say that quickly, my brother.
That's why I do the intro. Yeah.
The
what would be that? Like that Liberty Mutual.
I need to train myself to say it slowly. The jiu-jitsu. Who came up with this name?
That was you.
Yeah. The jujitsuoflife.com. So you can check out this episode and our older episodes. Also, subscribe to us on Apple iTunes. Leave us a super positive review. Also, as always, be sure to check out the sponsor of the show, Robles.com, makers of the world's finest custom jujitsu apparel. And whether you believe in masks, whether you believe in them, maybe you don't believe in them, really doesn't matter because we got to wear them, right? And so you might as well get yourself a good mask. Go to urbanmaskco.com to get yourself a triple layered antibacterial, all the good stuff. You know, all these other masks are junk. But you know what they really specialize in is making masks, custom branded masks for businesses. So be sure to go check them out, urbanmaskco.com. And as always, I'm Mo, that's Carter. And we wish you guys nothing but the best, both on and off the mat. Have a great week, guys, and take care.
Thank you, guys.
That's it for this episode of the Jiu-Jitsu of Life. Your hosts are Carter Fisk and Mo Siddiqui. This podcast is brought to you by Roll Bliss Custom Kimonos, makers of the world's finest custom BJJ apparel. You can subscribe to the Roll Bliss newsletter to get exclusive content at www.rollblissgi.com. You can find more episodes of this show at our website, thejiujitsuoflife.com. And you can subscribe at Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening, and we wish you a great week, both on and off the mat.